Why does it feel like nobody really gives us the inside scoop? Join us on The Powers That Be, the podcast where insiders from Puck break down who has influence, how they use it, and what it actually means for you. New episodes every weekday. Listen to The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's talk some Bucks basketball. Eric Name of the Athletic joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Eric, how you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. The big questions facing this Bucks team now is, you know, we can rehash everything that went on and what would have, could have, should have, and all that kind of stuff. But what do you think needs to happen for this team to take that next step next year?
I think they need Giannis to be Giannis like he was for the first 90 games of the season. It's really that simple. I thought in that series, you just saw him face a defense that he hadn't seen before. You saw him, you know, I guess uncomfortable to an extent we haven't seen him be uncomfortable to at this point in his career. He hadn't seen anything like that. And talking to him a little bit the other day after exit interviews, like, he just said, like, you know, this was, you know, I've thought things are tough before, but it's never been like that. It's never been like that before. I've never felt helpless isn't the right word, but I've never felt that before. I've never felt like, man, this is really tough. And I just, you know, I'm surrounded at all times. There's people all over me. I'm not really sure what to do. And I just think, you know, you kind of have to see those things. There's no way during the regular season you can kind of get that coverage. You can get a team as talented defensively as the Raptors to, you know, have that for you for six straight games. You're just not going to have that in the regular season. So I think this was really the first time we've seen him go through a real experience like that. Obviously, he's been in other playoff series, but I just don't think we've seen a team game plan for him quite like the Raptors did. And, you know, I think going forward, if you get him to be more like he was throughout the regular season, if you get him to be more like he was in, I mean, the other playoff series, and you get him to look more like Kawhi Leonard, well, then all of a sudden you got yourself a really good team and you got yourself where you need to be.
So the off season is going to bring a lot of speculation and a lot of money to somebody. So are the priorities Lopez and Brogdon and Hill? Is Middleton the priority, or is there an option out there? Because that's where everybody's going. Everybody wants to know who can. I mean, I just saw that Vegas is now saying that one of the top four landing spots for Kevin Durant could possibly be Milwaukee. I just don't see that happening unless the ownership says, you know what, we're going to go for it. We don't care what the salary cap is. We'll pay the luxury tax.
Yeah, I don't think there'll be a problem with them paying the luxury tax. They can bring back everyone, and I guess everyone, I would probably take out Mirotić. I think they could bring back everyone, and by that I mean Middleton, Brogdon, Lopez, Hill. They could bring all those guys back, and I don't want to say it wouldn't be complicated. They would obviously have to be ordered in a certain way, but they could bring all those guys back, pay the luxury tax, and really be in just about the exact same spot they were from a roster perspective next season. You know, if you do want to try to go after a guy like Durant, that means you're going to have to let a guy like Middleton go. That means you're probably going to have to, you know, renounce some rights on a couple other guys, maybe make a trade, because that's the only way you're going to have enough money for a Kevin Durant-type signing. And also, you need to have some assurances that he would actually be coming, because if you do all of that stuff and then he doesn't come, well, then you don't have Chris Middleton, and because you needed to renounce him, you don't have his bird rights anymore, so you can't sign him over the luxury tax. So you're going to be kind of left scrambling there. So to me, the ownership group has said that no matter which owner you've talked to, that throughout all of this, you know, they will pay the luxury tax if this is a contending team. If this is a team that they believe can contend for a championship, they will pay the luxury tax. To me, needing Giannis to play like Giannis, being two wins away from the finals, and that's all you need, that's what you needed to get to the NBA Finals, to me, that's a contending team. So if all of their words up to this point have meant anything, then that means they won't have any problems re-signing all these guys and bringing them all back. I think maybe the biggest concern, I know among Bucks fans, is paying Middleton a max or close to a max. But to me, I think the more pressing concern might be someone jumping in and making a crazy offer on Malcolm Brogdon. Like that could end up being something that happens, just because, you know, you see his efficiency numbers, you see the fact that, you know, he's the fourth or fifth option with the Bucks, and you think, well, you know, maybe we can steal this guy and we can turn him into the second or third option for our team. And in a bigger role, he'll put up even more numbers. And, you know, maybe a team can convince them of that. I wouldn't be 100% convinced of that, but that could make it hairy for the Bucks as they try to figure out, you know, what number they want to match, because Brogdon is a restricted free agent. So they have the opportunity to match any offer that he's given. It's just a matter of whether or not they'll actually do that.
Now, when it comes to Middleton, we all know that there's a monetary aspect to this. Is there a cap that you would say Middleton is worth? And if you go over, see, what I don't want to have happen is the Michael Redd situation where he's the best available and you pay the max for him, but he's not worth the max. You know what I mean? It's if one guy values a car that's really $1,000 and he wants it for two and you want it for three, are you really getting your value out of that vehicle if the vehicle's still only worth $1,000? Is Chris Middleton, has he reached his ceiling, or is there a lot more to Chris? And I don't want to negate Chris. He's never asked for the max, but if there's a team that falls on his head or gives him a lot of money, $30 million, do you jump into that pool?
I think for me, it's kind of interesting to think through all of this, because, you know, being worth something is an interesting kind of idea, because when you get to the upper level of NBA contracts, I mean, there's maybe five guys worth what they're getting paid. Like, if we're talking about, you know, how high you want to go on anyone, you know, that's kind of what you're looking at. So, you know, like Kevin Durant, he's worth his contract. Steph Curry, he's worth his contract. Giannis, he's worth his contract. After that, it gets pretty tough. Like, was LeBron even worth his contract this year? Probably not.
Mm-mm.
So, like, as you go up to the upper tier, there's a certain number of players that are going to have to get paid this amount of money. So I don't like using the worth kind of thing, because, you know, if you're paying anyone what they're worth, like, no one's getting paid under $20 million, and then Giannis is getting $80 million. Like, that would be what worth would dictate. So we can't really do that. We have to think about scarcity and how all of this works, and that is where you get a guy like Chris Middleton being near a max and that being his value on the open market. And I guess I've throughout the last couple of days, I've really, since the Bucks have lost, I've heard two examples. I've heard Michael Redd and I've heard Tim Thomas, and I think both of them kind of paint a picture of what the Bucks used to be and not what the Bucks are now. And I guess, you know, thinking about Michael Redd, okay, 2006, 2007, as we were talking about the Bucks heading into the postseason, we were talking about, oh, the Bucks haven't won a playoff series since 2001. Well, what does the 2006 team have to do with the Bucks 2019 team? That they're not playing on the floor anymore. Like, this is a different team. It's a different situation. Mm-hmm. So none of that should matter. We should just be talking about the Bucks and what they're actually doing on the floor. So we could ignore the fact that they hadn't won and said, yeah, they're going to crush the Pistons because they're a great basketball team. And I think in the same way, Michael Redd was asked to be the Bucks' best player, and you were overpaying him to keep him away from the Cleveland Cavaliers, who were going to make him their second-best player with LeBron James. Well, that's what you're doing right now. You're getting him to be your second-best player with your LeBron James and Giannis Antetokounmpo. So that's why I understand the, you know, the fear of being saddled with that contract. But you're not saddling yourself with that contract for, you know, your best player. That's your second best player. Like, you're trying to appease your best player and the guy that is really what your franchise is all about. So, like, the Redd situation, I understand why people bring it up. They both wear 22, both sweet shooters, both maybe leave a little bit more to be desired. I understand that. But in that situation, you're looking at two very different things. And then with Tim Thomas, it's like, okay, it was a career year for Tim Thomas. You were concerned about, oh, you know, 2001, this whole team might fall apart. We got to do everything we can to keep them together. This is one of the best teams in the league. So you overpay this guy. Well, Tim Thomas was good for 2 months. Chris Middleton has been good for 5 years at this point. Like, he's been a consistent contributor for this team. So, like, Tim Thomas was a flash in the pan. Chris Middleton has been very consistent. So I think that those two situations, I definitely get it, because as a Bucks fan, those things are going through your head, but to me, neither of them really end up applying all that much, because this is a totally different situation. You have to look at this situation for what it is on its own and not let history paint what you're going to do going forward because of some fear that, you know, a mid-market team might get, you know, might put themselves in a bad spot because they signed a bad contract. Well, you're not signing a bad contract for that guy. You're signing a that contract for your number one guy to keep Giannis around and to make sure that next summer when he can sign that Supermax, the biggest contract of all time, he signs it. That's what this is all about.
I would find it hard to believe at this point that, and this is unfathomable, it would almost shock me if Giannis left at this point. I mean, unless you screw this thing up so badly, you're two games away from going to the finals. I mean, all he wanted to do was be competitive, try to win a championship, keep putting good pieces around him, good facility, good town, didn't want to go to the big city. I mean, everything he said would lead you to believe he's staying and that we should just move on from that conversation, correct?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's always been one, you got to take a man at his word. And I understand that in the NBA, that's happened many times, and then the guy has decided to do something different. But for me, I always take a man at his word. Giannis has said that he loves the city, he loves what they're doing here, so I have to believe him because, you know, that's what he says. And I think on top of all of that, one thing that I've always found interesting is that I'm of the belief that a majority of the tampering that we see that, you know, the NBA obviously doesn't necessarily mind because they like all this free agency talk and all of that and all the recruiting that we see, all of that tends to happen at Team USA events. That if you look through all of the super teams that have been built, all the guys that have been recruited to certain places, that has happened in the summer at Team USA events because those guys play together and then realize, huh, this is pretty cool. You know, I like having a guy that can let me take a few possessions off. Or, you know, I like having this around. Giannis doesn't really have those opportunities. There's not a Greek superstar out there that he's going to go play with this summer as they try to qualify for FIBA or, you know, as they try to get into the World Cup. Like, none of those things are really going to affect him. So I feel like, one, his ability to recruit people is not going to be huge. He's not going to have a large impact in that. But also, the ability for other people to recruit him elsewhere is going to be limited as well. So, yeah, I agree. Like, I think as long as this team continues to compete, I think Giannis stays. And, again, you can't know anything like that for sure, but it certainly does feel that way that, you know, looking at what they've done thus far, and if you're able to sign them up again for another year and Giannis improves, you should be good again, and that should be, you would think, enough to keep him around.
Hey, real quick, I know we're really late, but I got to ask you. I know Giannis got up and walked out of a presser after being asked about his future, and he just kind of looked at it like, you know, what are you talking about? And then, you know, he kind of left Middleton hanging a little bit. Was anything ever made of that?
No, I don't think, between those two guys, I don't think Chris was anything more than surprised that Giannis walked out, and I don't think he's held that against Giannis or anything like that. They were still joking around at the practice facility the other day during exit interviews, so I don't think there's really anything like that's not going to make Chris mad at Giannis or anything.
Is there anything
like
being
that
made of it for Giannis walking out?
I mean, to me, there isn't a ton. I think it's a bad look always for any professional athlete to walk out of a press conference. So for me, I didn't think I was honestly sitting there in shock that he had done it because that's so far out of his character and what he's done to this point in his career. So for me, it was a surprise. But I mean, I don't think he's going to get suspended by the league or fined by the league or anything like that. It'll just be, you know, kind of up to people to, you know, figure out how they actually feel about it. Like I said, I don't think it's ever appropriate to do. I know there was some thought that he was upset about the reporter's article that had been published 5 minutes after Game 6 ended about his future and about what was happening there. But like I said, as a reporter, I don't think it's ever okay to do that to me. Like, I don't get the opportunity to do that to you. I have to, you know, treat players with respect, and I think we deserve that exact same thing. So, really, I think it's up to people to kind of figure out how they feel about it and what they want to do with it.
Always good. We'll talk again soon, okay?
I look forward to it. See you later.
Thanks, Eric. Talk to you later. There you go. Eric Namath, The Athletic, joining us for a couple of minutes. Way over time here. I apologize, but it was really good stuff. And I do want to get into this because Giannis, after Game 6, did get up and walk out of the presser. We haven't talked about it. And I do want to get into this just a little bit. So hang in there. But he joined us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard. They treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to SchneiderJobs.com.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.